All right, would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts? And for those who are visiting this morning, we are going through the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. This is a great crossroads passage. We mentioned that last week. This is a moment in history, not just church history, but all of history. And some of you in this room, if you had history in high school, you probably didn't like history, but history is most important. It tells us how we got here. It tells us the paper trail or the history trail, if you want, of how we got here and where we are today because of what happened in the past. In chapter 15, we have the first church council at Jerusalem, and a problem arose. Remember, the Old Testament is under the law. Sacrifices, commandments, very harsh, very heavy. Commandments, do's and don'ts. They're good do's and don'ts. The problem is that people can't keep those do's and don'ts. That's the problem. You and I have got a problem. We've got a big problem. We can't keep the Mosaic law. So the church had a council, came together and raised some questions about what was going on and what should take place. Let's look at verse 5 of chapter 15 to kind of review back a second. Verse 5, certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees, these are the righteous Jews who were lawkeepers, the righteous Pharisees, who had believed. Oh, they had trusted Christ. They had trusted the Lord Jesus. They stood up saying it's necessary to circumcise them, the Gentiles, and to direct the Gentiles to observe the law of Moses. Whoa, what's going on? Well, as the gospel was going forth, Gentile after Gentile after Gentile, pagan backgrounds were coming to Christ, believing in Christ. And so they come back to Jerusalem and say, you know what, we got to put all these people under the Jewish law. All these Gentiles, we got to get them straight. We got to keep them straight. We got to put them under the law. Otherwise, they may not be saved. We got to stick them back under the Mosaic law. Well, notice what happened. Peter stands up and he says in verse 8, God who knows the heart bore witness to them, the Gentiles, and by the way, I take it everybody in this room are Gentiles. We're not Jews, but you may have some Jewish blood in you, but most of us are Gentiles. All of us are Gentiles probably. Giving them the Holy Spirit as he did to us Jews. Well, guess what? Peter says, God is saving Gentiles and giving them the Holy Spirit apart from the Mosaic law. They're not stuck back under the law. Why do we want to stick Gentiles back under the law? Verse 9, he made no distinction between us Jews and them, the Gentiles, cleansing their heart by faith. Now, verse 10 is very powerful. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the Gentiles a yoke, that is the law, which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? Ah, the truth comes out. They were probably sitting around a lot of Jews listening to this discussion who said, yes, I trust Christ, but I'm a lawkeeper. Boy, I tell you, I can just keep that law, do everything it says. God's got to be pleased with me. The reality is they couldn't keep the law. The reality, they tripped in their moral walk. The reality was that they were not as self-righteous and as good as they thought they were. You see, this room right here is full of sinners past and sinners present and sinners future. Now, by the work of God, we progress. By the work of God, we can ask for forgiveness. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we can grow. And by the work of God, we can become different people. But now watch my hand motion. It's got to come from within. It's got to come from within. When I first learned to fly, I had two manuals that together they were thick as this songbook. And I'll tell you, when I first learned to fly, I was like this, doing page 296. I better make sure I'm doing page 362. I would not become a good flyer, and I became a pretty good pilot, until it was inside of me, until it was internalized. Until it was internalized. And here the Jews had 613 commandments. If I said the law to you, you'd think of the Ten Commandments. And that's just the start. That's just the start. There are 613 commandments. Which ones did I keep today? How did I do this morning on number 423? Okay? There's not a person in this room who can do it. So God does a miracle. He places within us the Holy Spirit. So watch. So that my Christian life, watch, is internalized. Will it be perfect? Will I ever reach a point in my Christian experience that I can walk absolutely perfect? I will not. I shall not. If I tell you I am, I'm lying to you, and I'm joking, I'm fooling myself. Okay? It's not true. All right, well, they go on in this big discussion. Look at verse 11. And by the way, verse 10 is important. Peter just put mud on the face of all these Jews sitting around the room. He just took a big mud ball and right in their face. And you know what? They had to take it. They had, you know what, Peter? You're right. Peter, you're right. We pretend to be so righteous. Peter, you're right. You're right, Peter. All of us Jews have been in a big game. We don't keep it. We don't keep it. Now, let me tell you some good news. The bad news is we don't keep it. The bad news is that everyone in this room have our quirks. Okay? We don't want to admit it. The Jews didn't want to admit it. I can't keep the law. They didn't want to admit it. Peter put mud on their face in verse 10. He says, our fathers nor us, we can't keep this thing. Let's face it, we can't keep it. Are we going to leave ourselves there as sinners? Heavens no. If when I was flying, I porpoised down the runway and bounced a couple of times, oh, I'll just leave it that way. Nuh-uh. No, I'm trying to internalize the laws of flying. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to bounce that plane. I could bounce it too hard and have a crash. No. The Christian walk. I don't want to do that sin again. And so the first thing we do is say, oh God, I sin. We're honest with our sins. Oh God, change me from inside out. Change me. Change me. Now guess what? I'm not current flying. I've got up to about 600 some odd hours. And my last time I flew, boy, was it fun. It was internalized. Man, I got this thing down. Still had to be careful. Still had to watch what I was doing. Still had to go back sometimes and read the rules. Still had to be careful. And about every 6 months, I'd come in normal for a landing. Boing, boing. Whoa. I thought I wasn't supposed to do that again. Porpoise down the runway. Whoa. Okay, what did I do wrong? Okay. Okay, that's the way the Christian life. I love landings. I used to make good landings. It became part of me. I want your Christian life to be part of you. Not simply by external laws. Part of you. Where you know what to do. You know where to turn. You know how to act. Because the Word of God is internalized inside of you. And that's what I think is being spoken of here. Now let's go on. We finished at 18 last week. I want to pick up at verse 19. Verse 19. In verse 19, we have James, the senior apostle, talking. And he says, okay, we got it. We got it. We can't put the Gentiles under the rules and regs anymore. It ain't going to work. Okay? And by the way, that's very profound. If you don't like history, I mean, if you're a believer in Christ and you've trusted him as Savior, this is big stuff. This is crossroads stuff. We're going to move on from the law. The law is good, the Bible says. The problem is us, not the law. The problem is us. verse 19, Peter, James speaking, therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. We're not going to stick them back under the law. Because, as our brother Peter said, it doesn't work. It didn't work for our forefathers. It doesn't work for us. We're not going to jam them back under rules and regs. Verse 20. But that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. Now, there are three things here. Two things make absolute sense. Fornication, that's a law. That is a rule. That's an Old Testament. That's a New Testament. Fornication is forbidden. That's a no-no. To abstain from things contaminated by idols, I'm going to get to that in a moment. Let's go to the third one, things strangled. Tell the Gentiles to not strangle their meat when they are preparing their meat. They were told in the Old Testament to drain the blood off. When you're sacrificing an animal, drain the blood off. You keep the blood inside the carcass, it's going to start putrefying and producing germs like crazy. You drain the blood off, okay? Now, wait a minute. Hold it. I thought that they were out from under the law. This is in the Old Testament law. Well, wait a minute, James. Now you stuck them back under the law. Did he do that? No. By the way, look up here for a second. While the law was 613 commandments, the moral part of the law continues on. It's still a no-no to have fornication. It's a no-no to kill someone. It's a no-no wherever you are, Genesis to Revelation. Those are moral standards that are eternal. Those standards are always with us, okay? Those are the big no-nos that we do not do. They are sin. They're sin, as sin can be. But what about this strangling of animals? This is what the Gentiles did. And by the way, I've been in Ethiopia and watched them strangle the goats. Terrible picture. They just let them hang there all day long instead of letting the blood drain out. Terrible picture. Poor animals are struggling. In Korea, they strangled dogs and cats and the whole... It's terrible. It's not merciful, and it allows for germs to germinate in the blood and be bad to eat. So, wait a minute. Now we've got a law here, strangle from blood, and don't eat things contaminated by idols. Fornication is clear. What is this thing about abstaining from things contaminated by idols? Look at the word abstain. The word abstain means to stand away from. Tell the Gentiles that we got three things we don't want them to do, okay? Fornication, that's a no-no. That's obvious. No fornication. But that they are to stand away from things that are besmeared by idols. To besmear is the best definition. Things that are contaminated or besmeared by idols, they are to stand away from them, and they're not to strangle the food that they're going to eat. They need to drain the blood off, as given in the Old Testament. Well, wait a minute. Why is this going on here? Why is this going on here? I thought we were just trying to get out from under the law. He's going to tell us why the Gentiles are to refrain from these things. Again, fornication is obvious, but look at verse 21. For, James speaking, Moses from ancient generations has in every city, I've got to add something so you get the context, every city of the Gentiles, every city of the Gentiles, Moses has been preached since he is read in the synagogue every Sabbath. Okay, now what's going on here? These Gentiles are being saved in Gentile cities, but next door to them are the Jewish synagogues where Moses, the Old Testament, is read. And it's to stay away from anything contaminated by idols, to stay away from strangling the meat, is in the Old Testament. What is James saying? Of the three things, the one that's hardcore sin is fornication. That's a given. No fornication, okay? But the other two things he brings up because it will offend the Jews in these Gentile cities. In the Gentile cities where the synagogue is, and Moses, the Old Testament is read, the law is read every Sabbath, the Jews are going to come out and say, look what these Gentile, they claim to be believers in Christ, and they're strangling the animals that they're going to eat. This is awful, because in our law, Moses says not to do that. What's James's point? So that the Jews in the Greek cities would not be offended, do not strangle the meat. Do not eat meat offered to idols. Okay? And certainly not fornication. All right. I want you to keep reading. We're going to come back to this in 1 second. This is very important, and it may not seem like it right now, but we're going to make it important. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, verse 22, and the whole church, to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They would send with them Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers. And they sent a letter. Now, by the way, right here is the second place. Look at me carefully. This is very important. The congregation has, you have a choice in the government of the church in two areas. Selection of your deacons, not elders. Elders appointed. Whenever we appoint deacons, we have men operating as deacons right now. They're keeping behind the scenes a lot happening in this church, this building. But when we officially appoint deacons, we'll come to you and say, tell us in this congregation who you think ought to be deacons. That comes from Acts 6. But number two, whenever we pick out missionaries to send, we'll come to you and say, who do you think ought to be our missionaries? This is what it says. They're going to send a letter. Notice where the letter comes from. The apostles, the elders, and the whole church. They're going to decide on these things. The whole church and the apostles and the elders are going to make this letter up and agree to send with Paul and Silas back to the seminary at Antioch, Judas and Silas. All right, here's what the letter reads. Verse 23. Here's the letter. The apostles and the brothers who are elders, to the brothers in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, who are from the Gentiles, greetings. Y'all see what's happening? The church at Jerusalem and the council of Jerusalem is now writing a letter to the Gentiles. Look what's happening. We're connecting up between Jews and Gentiles in the early church. We're connecting up. We've got a connector going here. Keep reading. Since we have heard that some of our number, to whom we gave no instruction, have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls, it seems good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will also report the same things by word of mouth. Whoops, what's going on here? You catch what he just said? He said, you poor believing Gentiles, you believe in Christ. And there are people coming in your midst telling you you've got to get under the law of Moses. They're upsetting you Gentiles, you Gentile believers. We're going to tell you it's okay not to be under the Mosaic law. And we're going to send four guys to you to confirm that the Council of Jerusalem has told you it's okay not to be under the law. We're going to send to you Barnabas and Saul and Judas and Silas. Four guys are going to come and help you guys get straightened out again. Okay? Verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials, that you abstain to things sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. If you keep yourselves free from such things, you will do well. Farewell. Notice, watch this. If you do these things, it will be good for you. There are some things that are absolutely hardcore commands. No fornication. There are some things that come out of the law, such as don't strangle the meat that you're going to eat, because it's going to offend your Jewish neighbor. That's the point. It's going to offend your Jewish neighbor. And there are going to be some things that you do that will offend other believers, especially Jews, because they study the law of Moses in the synagogues, if you're eating meat offered to idols, what is the ultimate point? No extra charge, but I'm going to give you a key point to your Christianity if you follow me the next minute or so. The key point is that this will cause things to go well for you. I, as a believer, have many things that I'm commanded that are right and wrong. They're just flat wrong. I can't do them. They are moral issues. I just can't violate those moral issues. There is an area of things, now watch my hand motion, that I must do inside of me in maturity to cause it to go well for me. It may not be a hardcore command. It may not be hold your feet to the fire law. But there are things that I need to do out of maturity. Internally, from maturity. I can't lay a law on you about certain things that are not hardcore commands. You can't lay a law on me that's a hardcore command. There are some things that if we do, we do it and it will go well for us because it's the mature thing to do. When I was flying, I created some own internal rules for myself that I learned that's the better way to do this. This is the smarter way to handle this. If I do this, this will go well with me. They weren't in my flying books. They were not the rules and regs from the FAA. They were just internal smart things to do. Now take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've got a Bible conflict. We have a biblical conflict. James said back in verse 20, 15:20 of Acts, he says, abstain or stand away from things besmeared by idols. I would take it, he would say, don't eat meat offered to idols. Don't eat meat, you Gentile Christians. Don't eat meat offered to idols. Was there anything wrong with eating meat offered to idols? No. Who's it going to offend? Their Jewish brothers. That is, their Jewish next door neighbors. I should probably put it that way. Their Jewish next door neighbors in their Gentile cities. These Gentiles had come to Christ. They'd come to Christ. And they said, they holler, you know, across the fence to their Jewish neighbor. Hey, come on over. We went down to the temple. We got this great big thick T-bone steak that had been offered to Zeus. We're going to put it on the Barbie tonight. We want you Jewish friends to come on. No, that was offered to idols. And their Jewish neighbors in the synagogues were told from the law, don't eat meat offered, don't do hanky-panky with the idols. Don't do hanky-panky with the idols. So abstain, James says, to the Gentile brothers, because the law of Moses is read by your neighbor Jews in the synagogues every Sabbath. Don't offend them. Is there anything wrong with eating meat offered to idols? At the bottom line, is there anything wrong eating meat offered to idols? No. Wait a minute, you just contradicted James. This is a rule of Bible interpretation. If I don't understand what James just said and put it in context, then I'm going to get all fouled up. James was writing to the Gentiles who might offend their neighbor Jew if they ate meat offered to idols. Coming back to the question, is it sinful in the bottom line, the bottom line, to all eat meat offered to idols? Paul says, I love T-bone steak offered to idols. No problem whatsoever, because I know those gods are not gods. They're not gods. But look what he says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Paul says, all things are lawful. Whoa. hold it. Wow, all things are lawful. Now, wait a minute. Not head on moral commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That's repeated in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Those are given. Those are moral commandments. They are eternal moral commandments. But what about doubtful things? Paul says, all things are lawful to me. And his context is about doubtful things. Things that may be questioned. Wow, all things are lawful. Goodness gracious. But not all things are profitable. Let me tell you what that Greek word means, profitable. It's two Greek words put together. Watch. But all things do not bring everything together. The Greek word is to bring together. That's what the Greek word means. All things don't bring together. When I was flying, I could have taken my little airplane and I could have done flips and turns up in the sky. No law against it. Except smartness would say, this little airplane can't take that. Smartness can't do that. Did you know if I was at Love Field, and I'm still current flying, let's say I was at Love Field, and suddenly the clouds came way down on the runway, and the tower puts out, no plane can land because the ceiling is too low. No plane can land at Love Field. Ceiling is too low. And I put out on the runway in my little airplane, and I tell the tower, I'm going to take off, and I mean, I can't see from here that wall. You know what the tower will say to me? Nothing. The rule is, if the pilot is that crazy and he wants to take off, there's no rule against me taking off. There's a rule against me landing in those clouds. But there's no rule against me taking off. And I mean zero. But to get smart, you wouldn't do it. The tower will never tell the pilot what to do. Never. It's not his job. The pilot in flying the plane, he's the one in charge. You'll never tell me that I couldn't take off. And I mean, I couldn't see that from that wall. I'd say, you tower 506, Cessna 506, I'll take off on runway 10. You're cleared. Cleared, I can't even see the... That's okay. It's your problem. Paul says all things are lawful. But now watch. All things don't bring things together in your life. Not everything you do will bring everything together. That's the word profitable. All things are lawful, but not everything will build up one. Look at that word build up, edify. Look at the word edify. Your Bible say edify in verse 23? You won't believe what that word means in Greek. It's two Greek words put together that literally means house. The first Greek word is oikos, which is house. The second word is domeo. We get the word domicile from, one's domicile, which means house. Paul put two words together, back to back, that means house. And what he means is, not all things will build the house. Well, house. Build up the house. All things are not, they won't edify. You can do them, but you might be stupid to do them. You might crash if you do them. There's no laws against them. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Aha! Here we go. Higher principle. You follow? Higher principle. Did you get that? This is why young people don't like do's and don'ts. It's too legalistic. And in essence, there are moral do's and don'ts. But there are areas where it's not necessarily. I mean, you better use some smarts. You better use some smarts. Verse 25. Eat anything that's sold in the meat market. Wait a minute. James just said the opposite. Context. James was talking about Gentiles who might be witnessing to their Jewish neighbors. You don't want to eat meat offered to idols. What's Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians? Watch. Look up here. He's talking about Gentile to Gentile. Paul's talking about Gentile to Gentile. Look what he says. Eat anything that's sold in the market, in the meat market, without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. That chunk of meat offered to Zeus, Gentile to Gentile, no problem. Offered to Zeus, ha ha ha, There's no such thing as Zeus. There's no gods. They've taken a piece of meat, they offered it to idols, they put it down in the marketplace to sell. Paul says, hey, Gentile to Gentile, no problems. Keep reading. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go, eat anything that's set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. You get that? Hey, I go to this Gentile's house and he's not a believer and he offers me a piece of meat offered to idols, big T-bone steak, big thick. Hey, it's no problem. No big deal. Because you know, Paul says in another context in 2 Corinthians, that doesn't mean anything. Keep going. But if anyone should say to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, don't eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. On one hand, there's nothing wrong with eating it, but now we have a conscience issue. Keep going. I mean not your own conscience. It's not going to bother you to eat the meat offered to idols. But the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? You see what Paul just said? Find out what is holy and find out what is not holy. When you're with people, do what does not offend. You follow? You have that ability. Watch, look at my hand motion. Internalized truth. I will do this, I will do that. For the other person's good, though I know there's nothing wrong with that piece of meat offered to idols. I understand that. Keep going. If I partake with thankfulness, verse 30, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Paul just said, look, if I thank God for this piece of meat offered to idols, why am I going to be slandered? Whether then, here comes the conclusion. Here's my conclusion this morning. Watch. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. Give no offense. Now watch. No offense to your Jewish neighbor, to your Greek neighbor, or to the church of God. Did you follow that? Verse 31 and 32. Look. Is living the Christian life by grace, not by rules. By grace, not by rules. There are certain things I would do and not do in flying. Don't find any place in the books. But I'm going to internalize certain principles, and I'm going to do it so that I would not offend someone else. Did you get it? And by the way, that takes a big thing for us. That takes a big thing for us. To say, I will do this and I won't, or I won't do that for someone else's sake. I've got to be pretty big to do that. Because I could say, well, who are they to tell me what to do? Who are they to tell me what to do? Now, do you follow the two differences? James is telling the Christian Gentiles, don't hurt your Jewish neighbor. Paul is saying there's no big deal here, but his conclusion is the same. His conclusion is the same. It's got to be done for God's glory. What do we do here in this room? We do it for God's glory. Why are we here? We're not here to fight and fuss with each other. We have differences. Why are we here? For God's glory. If you get your eyes on it and this focus, you're going to have troubles. And then we forego. Look at verse 32. I forego so that I will not hurt a Jewish brother. I forego that I will not hurt a lost Gentile. I forego that I will not hurt the church of Christ. You follow? The higher principle is not legalism or law. The higher principle is I will do it so that I will not hurt someone else. Now, young Christians, some of you in this room, young Christians, you probably want to rebel against that. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Okay? Back when I was in college, I had a small little church out in the country. Now, this was the dark ages, folks. We had candles and lanterns. We didn't have electricity. And I had the neatest little church out in the country in the most beautiful valley in Arkansas you've ever seen. And I was 15 miles from Fayetteville. And the people in that church said, you don't go to movies. They really did. They just wanted to say it openly. You don't go to movies. And remember, movies in 1956, nobody cussed. There wasn't even a heck or darn in movies in the 1950s. So I snuck off to the movies at Fayetteville. Clean. They were as clean as a Sunday school class, okay? And I looked up, and here came one of the church members down the aisle of the theater. I squinched up about 2 feet high in the seat because I didn't want to offend them. They didn't believe in movies, but there they were. There they were, but they didn't believe in movies. And I squinched down. I wanted to apply this. I didn't want to offend them. The irony, I should have jumped up and said, aha, you're here too, aren't you? That's what I should have done. But they disavowed movies. Oh, you can't go to movies. And in principle, that was right. In practice, movies in those days were so clean that they squeaked. And they were so clean. But you follow the point. I didn't want to offend. And so we have to forego our wish, our desire, so that sometimes we do not hurt another person. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we ask your help with this. This is something that sometimes it's confusing, sometimes it divides, sometimes we have different opinions, and yet the principles are clear here. And we thank you that we can walk in integrity. You know our hearts, you know our motives. We pray that we keep those straight. We consider others, we consider our testimony, and thank you for the freedom in Christ, and yet we don't have license to hurt someone else. Please bless this morning. Bless our offering. We thank you for our guests this morning, our visitors. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.